Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I've got the book and I've got the text printed on my notes, so I may go back and forth, but it comes from the Word of God. And I'll give the references and tell you where it's from. Sometimes it's easier for me to copy and paste it and put it on the paper than it is for me to flip every single time I have a reference. I tell you, technology is something else nowadays. It's gotten to the point where you can carry your Bible recording the message. It's down there. It's usually in my back pocket. I carry my Bible everywhere I go. And it helps because on breaks at work, I can spend time looking up sermons, work on sermons. You got everything there. Then there ain't no excuse anymore not to read your Bible. You can carry your Bible with you everywhere you go. Man, use that. Use that to your advantage. Those that have the technology. I mean, there's this little thing also for those that don't, call the New Testament. You can still carry a Bible around everywhere you go and read from it. Do. Especially in the world we're living, we need it. We need it more now than we ever did. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom, Jesus is speaking. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. I want to go ahead and say, I may end up inserting you instead of these and thous. I may say it in everyday language because if I say F too many times, I might stumble over my words. So. Verse 35 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we failed you. Just, Lord, use me today to say your word. And just help me remember what you want me to remember and forget what you don't want me to say. Pray for your church here, Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. We are getting now into a growing trend where if something is inconvenient, you just get rid of it. Unfortunately, a lot of times that something is not a something. Unfortunately, sometimes it's a someone. To the point that some older people start feeling guilty for living. So you have two growing situations that are kind of scary. One you hear more about than the other. The first one is children being killed before they're even born. That's called abortion. Then you have something where older people or people who are really sick are being killed by doctors. That's called euthanasia. Folks, neither one is a good thing. Why do I say that? I say that because life is valuable. And when we look at God's Word, we're going to look at four reasons that life is valuable. And someone may say, why are you preaching this? You're preaching to the choir here. And I might be. But let me share this with you. At some point, you may be in a conversation with somebody else. And maybe this will give you a little bit more ammunition, a little bit more to make somebody else think a little harder. And if I can do that, I've done something. So let's look at these four reasons, not necessarily because you don't know them, but because it gives you arguments to share with someone else. The first thing we're going to look at is the price paid for people. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The only being of his kind. God pressed out in human form. One of three of the Trinity placed himself on a nasty old tree and allowed himself to be killed by men so that we wouldn't have to be suffering in hell. That is the price God paid for us, for all mankind. Suppose I took a couple pieces of molded plastic and a string. All together, it might cost me a dollar. But now suppose I form that into a yo-yo. They still sell those, right? You might get, about $5 for one now, isn't it? And if it gets fancy, it's more than that. They used to make them that lit up and all that stuff. I guess they still do. Man, $5. That's 400 or 500% profit, right? Something like that. I'm terrible at math. What is that? 400 or 500? I don't know how you do that. So you pay a dollar and you get $5. So it's, I know you're making $4, however you look. You're making $4. So you're making four times. So it's 400% profit because you're making four times what you paid for. You see, the value of something isn't necessarily in the sum of its parts. The value is in what somebody is willing to pay for it. You know, there are some comic books that somebody paid 10 cents for that are worth now $1,000. I don't care about having the copy. I just want to read the story. Oh, I'm sorry. I like comic books, especially the clean ones. But you know, it's not about what. This is paper. Old paper at that. It's not worth the sum of its parts, it isn't much. But somebody's willing to pay $1,000 for it. So, by gosh, you ain't going to throw it away. You're going to get your $1,000, aren't you? Or keep it safe. Susan took a test recently. She had to pay $425 to take that test. By the way, she passed. She can now, I know, right? She can now get a job as a principal, and we're working towards it because she's got 3 years to do it, so pray for us. We want that. We don't want to have to pay another $425. But isn't that great? But here's the thing. That's just a little computer program. And it didn't take long. It took 4 hours. And you say, well, that's a lot. Well, not some games I play. You play for days. So, by my standards, that's not a whole lot of, it shouldn't have been, it's not worth. But somebody paid $425 for that test. That test is worth $425. Now, as man, we are not worth, as far as the sum of our parts go, for one thing, we're made out of dirt, so I mean, you know, it's everywhere. But for another thing, Isaiah 64:6 says, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags to God. We're worthless. And it's because of sin. And yet, God sent His only Son to die for filthy rags. Because of love to God, we have value. And who am I? Who am I to argue with God?
And that's just the first point. Because you see, not only are we valuable because of the price paid. Well, I'm not done yet, am I? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like, we read it just a minute ago, a treasure hidden in the field, which when a man found, he hides, and for joy thereof, goes and sells all he has, and buys that field. God considers us treasure. And did you read? For the joy he had of finding this treasure, he goes, and he spends all he had. Jesus Christ spent his entire life, not his life savings, his life for us. That's awesome. Look at verse 45 of Matthew 13 says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Christ considers us that pearl of great price. See, a lot of people misinterpret this scripture and say that Christ is the pearl of great price, but there's a problem theologically with that interpretation. The problem is, we can't purchase Jesus Christ. He purchased us. So, he considers us pearls of great price. He bought his church, folks. But do you realize, right, that he wants everyone to come to that knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everybody. And he was willing to die for every single one of them. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But not only are we valuable because of the price paid, and you can almost end it right there. Really. I mean, that's what is the life of God worth? We were talking about this in the car. Susan said, can you think of anything worth that? And I said, no, I can't. This is the life of God. Or at least one third of, you know, I don't know how that works. I'm not smart. I know that there are three persons in the Godhead. One is Jesus, one is the Holy Spirit, and one is the Father. And one of them died for my sins. So in essence, that's the way I look at it, is God died for my sins. What is worth what the life of God? What is that worth? I can't. Nothing. Nothing. And yet for filthy rags, he laid his life down. That's a sermon in itself. And you can't preach it because it just boggles the mind, doesn't it? If I keep doing that, I'm going to give myself a headache. Not only the price paid, though, let's look at the potential that every man has. Same chapter, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is great among herbs and becomes a tree, so that birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Let's see, mustard seed, it's a little bitty thing. I've seen them, they're pretty small. Smaller than a grain of corn, I think, actually. Definitely smaller than apple seed. And I don't want a hot dog without mustard very often. Well, I can eat a hot dog without mustard. I don't want a corn dog without mustard. It just ain't right. But I think of that little seed growing up into something so useful. Why? Because it has potential. But you know that seed, its potential is kind of thrown away if you don't plant it, isn't it? Look at the parable of leaven in verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Just a little bit of this yeast spread through that bread. There's potential there, isn't there? The test that Susan took had potential. It could give her the ability to add on her license that she could be a principal or an administrator. However, if she never took the test, potential's no good. However, and this is important, somebody who knows what they're doing isn't going to throw away, at least not lightly, something with that much potential. If I have one of those 10-cent comic books that I was telling you about earlier, that's potential of making me pay a bill. Making me enough money to pay a few bills. So I'm not going to throw it away. Even if I don't cash it in, I'm not going to throw it away. As much potential as there is in us, in all of man, don't throw it away by killing somebody early. Don't throw it away by destroying that precious, precious life. Now, I will come back to potential in a little bit, because there's more to this that we'll talk about. Potential is a very important point, and there's a sister point that comes along in a minute. But right now, we have looked at the price paid, and we've looked at potential. But for a minute, let's look at the Creator. We are valuable because of our Creator. The human soul is more valuable than any picture ever painted by Picasso or any violin Stradivarius ever formed. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." I'm taking the pages stick together. There is no other creature on the face of the earth. Listen to me. There is no other creature on the face of the earth made in the image of God. The human being, that's it. Your dog is precious to you, I know, but he wasn't created in the image of God. Oh, I'm sorry, she wasn't created in the image of God. Awesome animals. I love dogs. I used to have one. Not created in the image of God. Folks, when someone decides to end a life, or when someone decides to abuse a child, or a spouse, or an elderly person, or anyone else, when anyone decides to harm another human being, they are harming, destroying, abusing the very image of God. That is unacceptable. Say, well, what about capital punishment? That's a whole different sermon, and that's not what I'm talking about today. Right now, what I'm talking about is the fact that nobody's innocent, but people are being killed and hurt by people who just don't seem to even care. They're flippantly throwing away the very image of God. They're flippantly punching and hitting and hurting and harming and killing the very image of God. And God's people need to say something. I realize there's a time and a place, don't get me wrong, but if you're ever asked, speak out for life. If you're ever given the opportunity, share with them that this person, this unborn child, or this older person is the very image of God and should be treated as such, with that respect, with that dignity. So we see the price paid, and we see the potential, and we see the Creator. Let's look at the purpose. Remember when I said, when that was on potential, I said there was a sister point. Well, this is it. What is the purpose of mankind? Well, there are two passages I want to go to. The first one is in 1 Corinthians 6. We can go ahead, I'll give you time to turn there. 1 Corinthians 6. And we'll start with verse 19. Paul is speaking when he tells them, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." What we see in this verse, it also talks a little bit about the price paid there, doesn't it? You're bought with a price. The price, of course, being the life of Jesus Christ. Thank God he rose again. But here it also tells us what our purpose is, doesn't it? It says, glorify God in everything that you are. Now that everything belongs to God, your purpose is to glorify God. In Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 18, we see the Great Commission. I'll give you time to turn there. This is the purpose of Christ's church. Those who have joined up with a local body of saved, scripturally baptized believers. This is our mission here. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." See, as believers and as church members, our purpose is to glorify God and share Christ everywhere we go and make disciples and teach them. That's our purpose. And somebody might say, "Well, you just said that we all have potential. Isn't that the same thing as purpose?" The answer is no, it's not the same. Let me give you an example of potential versus purpose. I go to Walmart too often. I work there. Suppose I go to Sporting Goods and I buy a flashlight. I take it home, take it out of the bag. It's got potential. I take it out of the package and I flick it on and nothing happens. Is it broke? Most likely no. It's missing something. It's missing the battery. I put those batteries in there, screw the top back on, turn it on, and woo! I shine that light. Nowadays they got the LED ones and they're really bright. Now, that flashlight's got a purpose. To light my way. Now listen, every human being has potential. But folks, when we're born, every human being is missing the power source. Every human being is born with this condition called sin. And to God, it stinks just like that garbage outside stinks, you know, when you put food out there for a while. And that's what sin's like to God. Well, a whole lot worse, but that's what sin's like to God. It stinks. God cannot stand the presence of sin. So Jesus Christ came down, died, so that now for His children, all He smells is Jesus Christ. That smells mighty fine to go. You see, through Jesus Christ, He doesn't see my sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now God can use me. And God puts the Holy Spirit inside of me as a power source, and now I have a purpose to shine and be a light for the world around me. But without Christ, I don't have that purpose. I only have potential. And listen, purpose is important. But when someone comes to Christ, I don't want them to come to Christ to have purpose. That's not why I want them to come to Christ. You say, why not? Well, I'll tell you. I want a person to come to Christ because they realize that they're a sinner and that only God can fix them. I want somebody to come to Christ because they're ready to let Jesus Christ lead their life. You see, because the way we accept Christ is we realize we're a sinner. And we tell God, I'm ready for you to lead my life. And when we pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins and lead our lives, and if we mean that, God will do just that. And God will change our lives. And it'll be evident in the way we live. And we suddenly, yes, we have a purpose at that point. When we surrender to God, we have a purpose. But we're not saved just to have a purpose. We're saved because we're messed up. That, and I sure don't want to burn. That's what happens to sinners who don't accept Christ, is hell. I mean, that's just taught in the Bible, so that's part of it. You don't believe me? Read Luke 16 when you get home. It's a little creepy. But do you see that when we look at the price that was paid for us and all humanity and the potential humanity has, the Creator and the fact that we're all made in the image of God and the purpose that us as believers have, how could we dare destroy that?